Begin the current Daf Masechet Yevamim is Daf Kuf Beis. Begin several lines down at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf from our Mishnah, which was speaking about the specific halachas of Chalitza. And our Gemara talks about the regard of what type of shoe is considered the halacha of the Chalatz Menole, that the woman has to take off the shoe of the Yavam and then do the process of spitting, and then he's called the Beis Chalutz Hanol. What is considered a valid shoe for this process of Chalitza? So the Gemara brings two different traditions in the name of Rav in regards to what, if Eliyahu HaNavi would tell us, would we listen to. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav. He says, if Eliyahu HaNavi would come and tell us that you do Chalitza with a minal, as we described in the previous staff, a minal is a soft leather type of a shoe, then we would listen to him, because that would be the validity of the pasuk of being considered anal. But if he would tell us that ein chultzin besandal, that we can't do chalitza with a sandal, which again doesn't mean a sandal, but rather it's more like the shoes of our days, which are hard and leather, then ein shemile, we would not listen to him for his reason that he would say why it would not be valid. And the reason is shekvar nagu am besandal, because that's how the people have already accustomed themselves to do it with a sandal, and that's the halacha that we follow, and therefore we wouldn't listen to him not to do that. But Rav Yosef Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav, he gives a different variation in this tradition of Rav Kahana in the name of Rav, that if Eliyahu v'yomer in chalitza b'minal, if Eliyahu would come and tell us that you do not do chalitza with a minal, then we would listen to him, as we explained in the previous daf in the Mishnah, as Gemara will illustrate that by a minal, since it's made out of soft leather, there is reason for concern. So although after the fact, we go ahead and we do use a minal, but if he would tell us not to do that, then we would listen to him. But in chutz besandal, if he would tell us not to use a sandal, then again, in shemeloi, shekvar nogo am besandal, because the custom has already been to use a sandal. Now the Gemara says, what's the difference between these two traditions? They sound like they're saying the same thing. Now the Gemara says, the difference is, ikki b'nayu minal l'katchila, about initially, l'katchila using a minal. And that is, as Rashi explains in Masechtas Menachos, that according to the one that said, that if Eliyahu HaNavi would come and tell us that we are chaltzim b'minal, that we would listen to him, obviously he holds that, however, now, our days, today, that l'katchila we don't use a minal, until Eliyahu HaNavi would come and tell us that you could go ahead and do chalitza with a minal. But according to the version that said it, that if Eliyahu HaNavi would come and tell us that we do not do chalitza with a minal, then we would listen to him. From that inference, you could say that obviously until Eliyahu HaNavi would come and tell us not to use it, that we would go ahead and use it. And therefore, that would be the difference between the two of them, although they both agree that it's somewhere in between. It's not as strong as a sandal to always be kosher, and not like those which are always pasul. But the question would be, is it only b'di'eved, or is it even going to be kosher l'ketchila? In other words, these days, do we say that it's valid only after the fact, or even l'ketchila? And therefore, that version that says even l'ketchila says we would listen to him if he says not to go ahead and use it. Now, the Gemara asks, according to Rav Yosef's version, that he said that even l'ketchila we can go ahead and use the minal, but v'atnan, we learned in our Mishnah that says chalitza b'minal chalitza sekshar. Our Mishnah said that if one does chalitza with a minal, again that's that soft type of leather shoe, then the chalitza is going to be kasher. Now the inference is, d'yavid in l'ketchila, the terminology says if you do it with a minal, then the chalitza is going to be valid. But sounds like that's only after the fact, not l'ketchila. Rav Yosef's version has this tradition that it's kosher even like a tchila. So I think my answer is not who had enough for like a tchila. Truth is, as Rav Yosef says, that it would even work like a tchila. But for Aidi Debay Lemisni Sefer, since the end of our Mishnah had to say a different halacha, and that is Ban Pilya Chalitzas Psula, where we had to say that if one uses this soft shoe made out of a cloth, which basically is like a sock, that the chalitz is going to be invalid, and that halacha is dafil diyaved, even after the fact. So when we were talking about the heter of the minal, we also used the term of after the fact, but truthfully it's even the ketchila, just because we wanted to say the psul of the ampilya, even b'di'evid. So in the kashrus of the minal, we said it also in the term of b'di'evid, but truth it's even kashrus ketchila. Now, the Gemara says actually that u'mina l'ketchila, this machlikis that we had in these two different traditions and what Rav had said, if it's going to be kashrus these days l'ketchila or only b'di'evid, It's actually a machlekes tanoi. It's kind of like within the brisa. Our Rabbi Yosi says that pamachas halachti l'nitzivin. One time I went to Nitzivin, that's the name of a place, and mitzas is akenachare, I encountered an elderly man. Samartla said to him, Klomata Baki Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, did you know the great Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? Amali Hen, he says, yes. Val Shulchan Yehuta, they used to come to my table. So he asked him, Klomer Isa Shechal to be Yavama, did you ever witness him doing Chalitza to Yavama? Amali says, Risa Shechal to Harbapam, there were many times that I was there when they did the procedure of Chalitza. So he asked him, was it Beminal or Besandal? Did he do it with a Minal or a Sandal? So he said, Rabbi Yisrael says, Amali, this elderly person told me, do you think you could do chalitza with a minnal? Now, there's next words in the Gemara are in parentheses that, according to the Girsa that says this, that but Batayra Amr, he says, how can you think you could do chalitza with a minnal? But the Torah says, naloi. Now, naloi means v'loi min aloi, not as minnal. Now, therefore, from the term naloi, you see that it has to be a nal, which maybe that's like a sandal or other things, but that doesn't use the term of minnal, so obviously you cannot use a minnal. Now, Rashi is not to be garrisoned this, and the reason is because you never find the word minal in the whole Torah. It always says naloi, like by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says shal nalecha, it says in Rus, shlof ish naloi, where the term nal includes not just sandal, but minal too. And that's because actually the term minal that we always use is a rabbinic terminology, and it's not a biblical. Biblically, a minal is called a nal, and therefore it wouldn't make sense to prove from the Torah that says naloi, that means naloi, but not minal. Now, that actually, as the Gemara will illustrate, the reason why this elderly person was telling him that you cannot use a minnal is for a different reason. It's not learned from a pasuk, rather it's because of a rabbinic decree, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Now Rashi says, although there is a pasuk in Devarim that seems to say a term of minnal, where it says, Basel nechashus minnalecha, which sounds like it's saying that your shoes will be made out of iron and copper, actually that's not a term of minnal of shoe, but rather it's a term of a minnal of a lock. And that's what it means with it. But you never find the term minnal biblically, and therefore it doesn't want to have those words in the text of the Gemara. Now basically the elderly man told him that, no, what do you mean? How could you entertain that he did it in the minnal? So Amarti Lo, he says, I told him, but Imkain, if there's no way of entertaining it being done with a minnal, so Ma'ra Reb Meir Lema, then where did Reb Meir see fit when he said, Chalitza b'minnal, chalitza segshera, that he said that if one does chalitza with a minnal, with the soft leather shoe, that it is a valid, maybe even after the fact, but it is valid on some level, and you're saying for a Dava Pasha, for granted, that of course you can't use a minnal. Now, in that Braisa, Rabbi Yaakov Oyim Mishmoy, actually Rabbi Yaakov says over in the name of Rabbi Meir, more than what Rabbi Yisi was quoting for Rabbi Meir, that how can you say you this elderly man that he never used a minnal, we see that Rabbi Meir says, at least after the fact, it's good. Rabbi Yaakov actually says over in Rabbi Meir's name, you could even do chalitza with a minnal, even initially. It's okay according to even liketchila. Now, therefore, we see this machlekes of Rabbi Yosef and Rabba in this machlekes in this braisa, where Rabbi Yosef is saying in the name of a mayor only b'diavad, and we have Rabbi Yaakov's version of a mayor that says it's going to be kasha even liketchila. So now the Gemara wonders, umandam liketchila loy, according to the one that says okay initially, as we thought to infer from our Mishnah, which Gemara says it's not necessarily diik, but that l'ketchila, initially you can't use a minnal. The question is, my time, what's the reason? As Rashi proved that the term naloi generally means both sandal and minnal, so why can't you initially use a minnal? So the Gemara says, ilema, if you're going to say the reason is mishum dehavi panta, because what happens in this, with these types of shoes called minnal, is that the top part of the shoe, that's me'al, that's on top of the foot. But varaksa, the straps of the shoe, which get wrapped around, almost like some people have with their sneakers, like Velcro, that gets wrapped over the top part of the shoe, which essentially would make the shoe, this minnal, into like two shoes, one on top of the other. Now, as Rashi points out, this would not be a concern with sandal, because by sandal, they don't go ahead and take straps and go over the top part of it, because the shoe is hard in its own. And therefore, the straps wouldn't tighten it any more than what it has, because the sandal is hard itself. And more than that is that the sandal actually has, by the opening of where the foot puts in, it has a type of a knot where then you could close the opening and really keep it tight around the foot. So however, but by sandal, but by minnal, where you have straps, those straps are me'al de me'al. They're not on your foot. They're on top of something that's on top of the foot. But Vatayra Amra, but the Torah says in the parasha of Chalitza, says V'cholza Naloi Me'al Ragloi, that she has to pull off his shoe that's on top of his foot. Now Me'al indicates, but V'le Me'al de Me'al, it can't be pulling off from something that's on top of his foot. It has to be from on top of the foot itself, and therefore that can't work with Minal, because a Minal, what she's taking off is not the shoe itself. Maybe after that, the first thing she takes off is the straps on top of the shoe, which is on top of the foot. On that, the Gemara says, if that would be the reason why minel is pasul, well then hiachi afil diavinamilei, then even after the fact, it shouldn't be kosher. We said that there's a mandama that says, okay, you can't use minel ketchila, only b'diavet. But that can't be his reasoning, because then it would be pasul even after the fact, because that's not me'al raglei, it's me'al de'me'al. So rather, what we have to say is, from the fact that the chalitza is kosher b'diavet, obviously, what we need when she takes off the shoe is just that his foot should be revealed. And that's even if you have two shoes, one on top of another, because when you take off both of them, so that's okay. As the Gemara later on will bring a certain question relating to two shoes, the whole question was only when she like tears the upper shoe, the top shoe, and then she's able to slip out the bottom shoe from under it. But according to everybody, if she takes off both, that would work. And therefore, so what's the reasoning of the one who says that a minhal is not going to work? It can't be because me'al de'me'al, because she's taking off the me'al de'me'al and the me'al also. So rather, the Gemara says, gezeir mishum minhal merupet. The reason why initially we don't allow a minhal is because since these minhals are very soft, so we're concerned that maybe the top part of the shoe is going to tear, thus not making it a nal anymore. But in spite of the fact that it tears, a minhal is a type of a shoe that you could still wear it because you can take your straps and tighten it around this torn shoe. But a sandal, which is hard, once it tears, you can't go ahead and maintain it. It's hard-boiled leather. You wouldn't be able to maintain it on the foot, and therefore there's no reason of concern. And that's why a sandal, we don't make a concern. But a minhal, even though it's a full-fledged minhal, we're concerned that it might tear and you might still use it, and that's not going to be kosher. So look at chila, even a regular minhal we don't allow. Inami, or also the Gemara says, Mishum Chatzi Minal, because of a half a shoe, which is of this Minal, which again is the possibility of having these types of things, which people wear even regularly. And because of that, since that's not going to be considered a Nal, that's why we don't allow a Minal. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara says, Amar Rav, he says, Ilav de Chamisi lechavivi. If not for the fact that I had seen my uncle, Reb Chia, the Cholitz Besandel, the Islay Shinsen, that he had allowed chalitza to be done with a sandal that has straps, and thus, as Rashi points out, makes it easier for the woman to pull it off. I would not have used such a shoe for chalitza. Ela besandol tataya, I would only use like an Arabian sandal, the mahadik tfei, which is very tight and snug around the foot. And the reason for this is because a woman has to do the chalitza. Now, if some other cause is helping it slide off, that's not only her doing it, and therefore it would really have to be something that's really tight. So if not for the fact that my uncle would have done it, I would not have used something like that. Now he says, V'haididan, now our shoes, avagav de isbe chumarte, even though it has a knot on the opening of where the foot goes into the shoe, which helps it maintain the tightness around the foot, even so, he says, we have to be concerned at the time of chalitza, we're katrinam be misno. We tie on a long strap onto the shoe, kihechi, so that when the woman comes to take off the shoe, she first has to open up that strap and then take off the shoe, that to have a chalitza smal yasa, there should really be a full-fledged chalitza. Again, she has to pull it off. If gravity or if he slides up, that's not going to be good. She has to take off the shoe, and therefore we do whatever it is to make sure it's really, really tight, and then she opens it up, and then she takes it off, and then we know we're doing a full-fledged chalitza. So he wants a simina and the manik to recall the next three statements in the name of Rav Yehuda Marav are Hataras Yavama Sandal, which literally translates as the release of the Yavama is through a sandal, but each one of these words are referenced to a different halacha. So I'm Rav Yehuda Marav, regarding the first one of Hataras. Hataras Yavama Lashuk, the permissibility of a Yavama to go out and marry some other man, meaning that she doesn't have the bond to the Yavam anymore, meaning that she did a valid chalitza, is b'shmitas roiv ho'ekev. As long as she went and slipped off the shoe from just the majority of the heel from his sandal, even if she didn't take off the whole shoe yet, she's considered permissible to marry another man. That's considered valid for chalitza. Which the Gemara's Meisvi, the Gemara's from the following Braisa. Braisa says, hutru rutsuois minal v'sandal. If, let's say, she didn't untie the laces, the straps of the minal in the sandal, rather they became undone. Or he went and slipped off the sandal from the majority of his foot, and then she went and removed it totally. Chalitza Sapsula, the chalitza is invalid. She has to untie it and she has to take it off his foot. Now, the inference, however, is time of the Shamar Hu, the reason why it was possible was when he slipped it off, then and he slipped off the majority, so that's going to be possible. Hasham Tehi, but it sounds like, but if she slides it off, then Chalitza Sikshev, then the chalitza is going to be kosher. However, the Dik is, it's only by Rav Haragel in, meaning when he slides off most of it, that's not good. But meaning if she does what? If she slides off most of it, then that's going to be kosher. But Rav Ekev Loi, but it sounds like if she only does the majority of the heel, that won't be kosher. That refutes Rav's halachom. I think Mara says Loi. No. Hainu Rav Haragel, Hainu Rav Ekev. When we say that the majority of the foot, it's actually a reference to the majority of the heel. Now, if I might correlate Rav Haragel, so why do we call that majority of the foot? The reason is because the kula chayla of the car, actually the whole pressure of the leg, alay dachas, actually presses down and is supported on the heel, and therefore the heel is the most prominent of the bottom of the sole, and therefore we say once we're taking off from the majority of the heel, we call that already as taking off the majority of the foot, but actually the halacha is a grav, that all she has to do is take off from the heel, and that itself would be valid. Now the Gemara says, actually, Misayele, this that we learned in this brisa that was quoted to ask a question on Rav, that if the straps got undone, where obviously we inferred that that's not going to be kosher, that the woman herself has to open up the straps, that supports L'Rabbiana. Dama Brenda, the Rabbiana had said, Bein Shehitu Hu B'Shamtehi, whether he undid the straps and she slid off the shoe, or Bein Shehitiri Hi, or whether she opened the straps B'Shaman Hu and he took off the shoe, Chalitza Sabsula Har Chalitza is invalid, until she opens the straps and she takes up the shoe. That's like we see in the Brisa, that if the straps become undone by themselves, that's a chalitza psula. Now once we introduce Rabbi Yannai, the Gemara brings a question from him. But Rabbi Yannai, kara asu mahu, what's halacha if she doesn't take off the shoe? She tears off, she demolishes the shoe and she rips it off. Or sarafashu, if let's say she throws a coal on the sandal, which is when it's wrapped around his foot, and it burns the shoe off of him. Now, what's the halacha? As the Gemara explains the question. Galuye karabinan v'yikah, do you just need his foot to be uncovered? Usually it's by taking off a shoe, but here she burns it off or rips it off. And v'yikah, and that you have over here, and therefore that's valid. Maybe no, that no, it's not just uncovering the foot. And actually, you don't even need it maybe to be uncovered. You just need to take off the shoe, and that you don't have over here, because you didn't remove it, you burnt it, or you tore it. I think Moshe says, take or let it stand. It's not clear what's the primary component of the pasuk of the taking off the shoe or the foot revealed, which generally that's the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin. But halachically, we could clarify and wonder which is the primary component and therefore have ramifications in halacha. Similar question in this ramifications of this question, of this chakir, is Boyimene Reb Nechemi Mirabah. He said, Shneimen olam zeh al gav zeh mahu. What's halacha we have? If the yavam was wearing two shoes, one on top of the other, so the Gemara wonders, hey chidami, what's the case talking about? If it's talking about that she only took off the top shoe and left the bottom shoe on, well, me'alam rachman, as we pointed out before, the Torah says she has to take off the shoe that's on top of his foot, not the shoe that's on top of the shoe that's on top of the foot. So the Gemara says, loy tzircha. The question that was posed was the karate li loy, where she went and she tore the upper shoe, didn't take it off, so tore it. Now generally, if that was the bottom one, we said that might fulfill because it's revealing the foot. But here, the upper shoe she tore. She was able to slip out the bottom shoe because she had torn the upper one. But the upper shoe is still on the foot. That was his question, was my. Chalitza be'inan vo'ika, do you just need to take off the shoe that's ma'al ragla and you got that off? Maybe you need to reveal the foot, and that you don't have, because you were able to tear the upper one enough to get the outer one, the bottom one out, but the upper one's still there, and it's covering the foot. It's not totally revealed. And that's, again, the same question that we're wondering about the interpretation of what the pasuk requires. Now, the Gemara, as we continue on Talmud Beis, wonders regarding the question, is there such a thing that someone wears two shoes to wonder about this question? And the Gemara answers, in yes. Because as the rabbi saw by Rabbi Yehuda, the nafik bechamsha zuzi muki l'shuka, he would go out with five pairs of these hard shoes to the marketplace, and therefore you see that there is a feasibility of such an element, and therefore it is a valid question that was being asked, and that was again as the Gemara had not resolved it in the previous question about what's the primary component, taking off the shoe mal raglay, or that the foot is revealed, and again that's just usually done by taking off the shoe. Another halacha that Gemara brings from Amar Yehuda Merav is the second one, the second of the three halachas. Yevama shegedilo bein ha'achen, a yevama that grew up amongst the brothers. In other words, her husband died, and she wasn't taken in yibum by or had chalitza done by any of her brother-in-laws, but she grew up amongst them. Let's say in the same house. Let's say her husband was the oldest, and all the other brothers were single, and she grew up in their house. So that Rav says, Mutaris linasi lechem achen. She's allowed to have, at a later point in time, yibum, to get married to one of the brothers. We're not concerned that maybe at one point one of her brother-in-laws needed help getting his shoe off, and she took off his shoe, thus executing chalitza. She did chalitza, he can't do yibum anymore. And that Rav says, no. It could be 10 years after her husband died, but the thing is, she could still go ahead and have yibum done. We're not concerned that maybe she took off one of their shoes, thus doing chalitza. But that the Gemara asks, Taima de lechazin, that sounds like from Rav, is only because we didn't see this. So we're not concerned that maybe this was what was done. But it sounds like from Rav, that hachazin, but if we saw that she took off one of the brother-in-law's shoes, then chashin and them were concerned that maybe that's a chalitza, and therefore she's invalid to do yibum with any one of them. Even if it sounds like that obviously she wasn't intending to do the chalitza of a mitzvah, she was just helping her brother-in-law get his shoe off. But Vatani Lina Brais that says, whether he is intending for this to be chalitza and she's not, she's just helping him get his shoe off. Or whether she's intending for this to be chalitza, yes, I'm getting out of this, but he's not, he doesn't realize, he just thinks she's helping him get his shoe off. Chalitza sabsula, that's not considered a valid chalitza. Until both of them are intending, we know what we're doing, we want to do chalitza, he's having that in mind, she's having that in mind. So the question is, regarding Rav, what's he saying that we're not concerned that maybe at one point she took off her shoe? Even if she did, it was just to help him get his shoe off, what would be the problem? They're not intending to do the chalitza of mitzvah. So I think what says Hachikama. Now this is what Rav said, that Avagav the Chazinan, even if we saw at one point in time that it was a snowy day and she helped him get his shoes off, in Chaysh and Shema Kivnu, that you're right, it means to say that we're not concerned that maybe they had intention for this to be chalitza of mitzvah, and therefore, although she's always helped them out with their shoes, she can still go ahead and have yibum with them. Now, Megadami, there are those that say that actually no. It's actually true that, like we said in the first version, and the reason is because we never saw her take off the shoe of her brother-in-law's. But if we saw that she took off the shoe, then we would be concerned that maybe their intention was for this to be chalitza, and therefore she would be invalid for them. Now, but the katana by kavana, but this that we learned in the Braisa, that we need definitive kavana, intent for this to be chalitza, that's hanamila l'shtaru l'alma. That's only for her to be permitted to others. There, until we know for a fact that it was done for chalitza, she's not permitted. Because until you have chalitza, this is the yivam l'shok. Aval achen mifsla, but for the brothers, she will be possible because that's a chumr the other way. Because maybe you did have intention for this to be chalitza, maybe for a fleeting second, and if you took it off, and you fulfilled the chalitza, and that's why we would already make it possible for her to have yibum with the brother-in-laws. Now, the third one of the statements of Amar Yehuda Merav is sandal hatafa bepishton. Regarding a sandal that was sewn with linen, in chalitzin, but you cannot use such a shoe to do chalitza with. And the reason is because you need the entire shoe to be made out of leather, where there's two interpretations of Rashi. Either it means that there was an insert, like or a piece of cloth of linen inside, or actually it was sewn, the shoe had stitching with linen. Either way, you can't have it with linen. And the reason is, Shanim, like it says the Pasuk in Yechezkel. The Pasuk says, V'an aleich tochash, which is the term of nal of shoe. I made you, like, cover with a shoe with tochash. Now, tochash is a type of an animal. Where obviously we see that we don't call a nal unless it's entirely made out of something like tochash, which is the hide of an animal, which is what leather is, and therefore that excludes linen, which is grown from the ground. So that the Gemara has, then if you're learning it from that pasuk in Yechezkel, but v'eima tochash en, say only the animal tochash, midachrini, but anything else, meaning the hide of any other animal, or a sandal, loy, that should not be considered a nal to be able to do chalitza with that. But the Gemara says, no, because now, Rebbe, we have a few different words of now brought in the pasuk of chalitza, where those come to include all other types of shoes. So the Gemara asks, inal nal riba, if you're including other shoes from the term extra terms nal, I feel like kol, then anything, even pishon, should be included. But the Gemara responds, im ken tochash mahanli, so then what would we be learning from the pasuk in Yechezkel that says it has to be tochash? So obviously it's somewhere in the middle where, like tochash, that it's leather, so to other things that are like leather, but that excludes things which are not even from an animal, which would exclude pishon with linen. Now the Gemara brings baimele riba lazim irav. Husha'ar, so you brought a pasuk now that we saw it has to be leather. But husha'ar, let's say the shoe's made out of leather, but v'tarzi yosav, the straps of the shoe, are shalsara, made out of here, let's say like goat's hair. Mahu, what would be the halacha in such a case? So Rabbi responded, mila karinan beiva nalach tochash, wouldn't hair of an animal be the same as tochash, meaning that also grows on the animal. So just like the leather, the hide, so too the hair would work. So then he asked him, if that's the case, so even if you make the entire shoe out of the hair, that should also be valid to do chalitza with that. And that Rav said, nahu karka mercury. That's not called a nal anymore. If it's entirely made out of hair, that would be called karka, and therefore that's not nal, and that wouldn't be vashal, nali, that wouldn't be included in the pasuk for chalitza. Now Gemara clarifies an assumption that we had been taking all along. Amalei Rav Kahana Lishmol. It says, "Mimai dahai." How do you know that to interpret the pasuk in Devarim, where it says "v'choltza nalo ma'al ragle," that we had been interpreting all along, that mishlafu, that means to take off, that she shall remove his shoe from on top of his foot. Now the reason obviously would be, just like it says a pasuk Meyikra, where you see that the term chalitza means removing, where it says "v'choltza asavon ma'ashabehen anega," that you have to remove the stones of the house that has in it the nega affliction. So you see that chalitza means to remove. But, he says, I'll bring you other psukim that indicate a different interpretation, because ve'ema ziruzehu, maybe say, it means preparing, meaning maybe actually the process of chalitza is the other way around, that she takes the shoe from the floor and puts it on his foot. Just like it says the pasuk in Bamidbar, says, hecholtzu mi'itcham anoshim atzava, prepare for yourselves men for the army to fight in the war. So maybe it means preparing, maybe it means that she should be cholatz naloi me'al ragli, that she should go ahead and actually tie on his shoe onto his foot, which means to prepare it, to make it prepared for his foot. And that the Gemara says, no, actually, Hasim Nami, that pasuk in Bamidbar also means removing. Because Hecholtzu Mitzcha means to say, Shalufa Mibesa, take them away, remove them from their house, Lekrava, to go ahead and fight in the war. But the Gemara continues asking, but except we have a pasuk in Eiv that says, Ichalitz Oni Ba'anyai, which the Gemara assumes that what does that mean? It means to you support a poor man, a pauper, in his poverty, meaning that Hashem, you give him strength. So it also comes out like a term of zeruz, of supporting. That would mean like putting on the shoe, that you support his foot with the shoe. I think Moran says, no, here also, it means a term of removing. What the interpretation of the pasuk is b'schar onyay, in the reward of his poverty, in other words, which atones for him during his lifetime because he's a pauper, yichaltzu, that removes him and saves him midina shel gehenem, from the judgment of Gehenim. So again, that also means a term of removal. But the Gemara still asks, Elohadach Sebedesa, says the pasuk in Tehillim, Choynim Malach Hashem Sov L'Ri, Hashem sets the angels of God around those who fear Him, Vayichaltzim. Now the Gemara here assumes that's also a term of what's called Ziruze, of supporting, that Hashem gives them the Kayach, the energy to go on. So you see it means a term of Ziruz, maybe it means putting on the shoe. Now the Gemara says, no, they're also B'schar Yireyev, in the rewards, the merit of those who fear him, yichaltz medina shel gehenem, means that he will remove them and save them from the judgment of Gehenna. But the Gemara has a final question. But elohadach siv, but this is a pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, v'atz meisech yachalitz. Now, v'amir b'laza, he says, zumu ula shebet brachas, this was the best of the blessings. Now, v'amir rava, he interprets, what does that pasuk mean? Zaruze garmi, it means that your bones will be supported, will be strengthened. So you see that yachalitz means a term of support, of strength, and therefore, maybe that when we're talking about over here, that when she goes and she does chalitza, maybe it's to support his foot by putting on the shoe and not taking off. So the Gemara answers in, you're right. Mash mahochi, the term chalitza can mean either taking off, or it can mean actually, in a sense, putting on, meaning to support. However, here you can't say it means putting on the shoe, because the hacha, isa gedetach zeruzehu, if you would entertain, it means to support, to prepare then imkein lichtei brachmona v'cholta nali biragli. Then it should say that she should be cholatz his shoe, meaning that she should support and prepare it biragli in his foot, not me'al ragli, not from his foot. But the Gemara says no. Ikas of brachmona biragli. Had we only said that she should be cholatzed biragli, maybe it means to put on the shoe. But if we said into his foot, then have mina biragli in, we would have thought only that on his foot. But b'shukai loy, but on his leg, that you would not be able to do chalitza. Kaz rachmona me'al ragla, that's what the Torah said, me'al ragla, from what's on top of his foot. Da'afil b'shukai, to say that the aloha of chalitza, let's say if his foot got cut off, was amputated, and then he only has a leg, that even that's going to be valid to do the chalitza from the leg, not from the foot. And that's why we have to write me'al ragla, to say that's not only the ragla, but even what's on top of the ragla, which is the shaykh. That the Gemara says no. Imkein lichta brachmona bimme al ragli. Then they should have said that she does chalitza. She supports. She prepares the shoe onto something, into what's on top of his foot. My ma'al ragli. Why does it say from that which is on top of his foot? Shmamino mishlefu, again, that obviously saying that it's from the foot. That's what chalitza is doing. It's removing and not putting on. Now, actually, the Gemara brings in a gadik incident relating to this term of chalitza. There was a certain apikiris, someone that is a denier of God, and regarding the Jewish tradition, he said to Rabbi Gamliel, "Amad chalitz le'mari mina." He says, "You're a people that your God has removed Himself from you." Does it like it says the pasuk in Hosea? It says, "Bitzaynim uvavkar mielchu levakesh es Hashem," that with their cattle and their flock, they will go to seek Hashem. But even so, they won't find him. And because chalitz mem, he has removed himself from them. So you see that God, so to speak, did chalitza to you, that he has removed himself from you. So Amalei, seemingly told him, Shaita, you don't have any seichel. Miksiv chalitz lahem, does it say that Hashem was chalitz lahem, that Hashem, so to speak, removed himself from to them and he did chalitza to them? Chalitz mihem ksiv. It says that he received chalitza from them. Now, this is a metaphorical relationship of God and the Jewish people. God is the man and the Jewish people are the women. Now, v'ilu yevama dechotz la'achin, if a yevama would go ahead and do chalitza to her brother-in-laws, that meaning that the yevam would receive chalitza from the woman, meaning that he would take off her shoe. Midi mashasha ispe, would there be any halacha concern? No, that's not how the process of chalitza works. And therefore, although we're, so to speak, doing chalitza to God, that doesn't work. The chalitza has to be from the yavam to the yavama. And therefore, although the Jewish people don't find Hashem because we've removed him, but Hashem has not removed himself from us, he's still there, very much bonded to the Jewish people. Now, the Mishnah said, Bampilya, if one does chalitza with what would be a sock, then the chalitza would be invalid. Now, the Gemara says, lememra, what obviously our Mishnah is saying is, dampilya lav minilhu, that ampilya is not considered, quote, a minil, it's not a shoe to be valid for what the Pasuk says, that chalitza has to be with a nal. Now, the Gemara says, but it's not nami, similar like this in the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim. The Mishnah says that ein hatayrim, the kohen that goes ahead and does the trumas halishka, that he separates from the new coins that the Jewish people gave for the karbanis of that year, so he takes off trumas, elevations, he takes a certain amount and puts it into different boxes. So he can't be nichnas, he can't go in to do this separation from the big cases that have the coins into these smaller boxes. Loi bepargut chafus, not with a type of a cloak that has a hem on the bottom, so that people shouldn't suspect him and say, oh, he has a hem. I'm sure they're pretty heavy, those hems, because he took out a lot of coins for himself. Veloi bampilya, neither can he go in with socks, again, also because of suspicion that maybe he slipped coins into his socks. We don't have to say that he can't go in to do this process with a minal and a sandal, because that would be problematic even without the element of suspicion. Because you can't go into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash ever with a minal and a sandal. As the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, that Hashem says, "Mi bikish des miyatim, who asked this from you? Ramas chatzir, to trample my courtyard, you don't come in with shoes into the Beis HaMikdash." Now, from the fact that the Mishnah there says that ain't tzarach leimar, that obviously ampilya is not included in minol. Ampilya was said as a concern because of chashad of suspicion. But what's considered shoes, that we said you can never go in. And obviously, an ampilya is not considered shoes. Now, however, the Gemara asks on both our Mishnah and that Mishnah, Masechet Shkalim, but v'rminu. We have the following brayse that says, Echad minul v'sandal v'ampilya, both regarding this soft shoe called minul, the hard shoe called sandal, and this cloth shoe, which we call a sock, which is ampilya, lo yatayel behen. A person cannot walk around with these types of shoes on Yom Kippurim, which obviously is because it's a violation of what's called ni'ilas ha-sandal. You can't walk with them, lo mibayis labayis, not from one house to another house, but lo mimita lamita, not from one bed to another bed. So obviously, from this braisa you see that ampilya is a violation of ni'ilas ha-sandal on Yom Kippurim, where obviously it is considered a shoe. So Abaya answers, he says, that the ispe kisisi, this that we said that it's a violation on Yom Kippurim, is talking about that inside this sock, there are soft pieces of leather and of cotton that are put in. Now, umishum tainig. The reason why it's a violation of Yom Kippurim is not because it's considered an ilas sandal. You're right, socks are not shoes, but it's because of that one is not allowed to have oinig on Yom Kippurim, and therefore we have certain violations that Torah says. Now, because of that, that's why it's a problem, because of these soft elements inside of that, but not because it's considered a shoe. Now, that Amalei Rava asked Habaya, do you think that if someone's wearing something comfortable on his foot, which is pleasurable, but what he's wearing is not considered, quote, a nal, a shoe, that that's forbidden Yom Kippurim? But Rabbi Avuna would wrap around a kerchief, a cloth on his foot, and walk around, which is pretty comfortable, but it's not a shoe. A shoe is a shoe. And therefore, you see that that's not a violation of Yom Kippurim, and therefore, we're back to the question, why would Ampilya, if it's indicative from our Mishnah, the Mishnah Masechet Shkalim, that it's not a nal, be forbidden to walk around with that on Yom Kippurim? So Elam Rava, rather, Rava gives a different resolution. He says, Leikasha, it's not a difficulty. Because Khan, here by Yom Kippurim, where we said that Ampilya is forbidden, is talking about Ampilya Shalar. It's a sock made out of leather, which that would be considered a minnal. However, Khan, in our Mishnah, and in Mishnah in Masechet Shkalim, talking about the Trumas Alishka, is Bampilya Shal Beged, is talking about this soft shoe made out of cloth, which is basically like what we call a sock, which that doesn't protect the foot from the elements, and therefore that's not called a nal. And also, there's no problem by going into the courtyard, because that's not disgraceful, because the problem of walking with a shoe is because it's all dirty and muddy, but one does not walk with socks, something that's made out of cloth, into mud and cement, and therefore that wouldn't be a problem about walking into the courtyard. Again, that was only a problem because of chashad, but we see that ampilya is actually not called a nal, and that's why it's not valid for chalitza. So the Gemara says that hachanam mistabe, the way Rava answered actually makes sense, because the ilay temachi, if you don't say that resolution, well then kashe mekipurim mekipurim, we actually have an internal contradiction in the laws of Yom Kippurim, because the Tanya learned the brayse that says, a person is not allowed to walk around with kur de kisin, which are these thin types of shoes, which people would wear underneath their thick, heavy shoes, which protects them from water, which Rashi says there in German is called Unterschuh, which basically means to say undershoe, which is what they would wear under their shoes. So that a person is not allowed to walk around in his house on Yom Kippurim. Of Matailu Bampilim, but he is allowed to walk around this house with Ampilin, with socks. Yet we have that other brace that says you cannot walk around with Ampilin. Alav Shemam, obviously we can infer, as Rav had said, that Khan, where we said that it's forbidden, is Bampilya Shal Ur, is with these socks made out of leather. Khan, where we said that it's Mutter, is Bampilya Shal Beged Shemaminah, like Rav had said, that talking about cloth, which that's not considered now to be forbidden because of Ni'ilas HaSandal. Like Masa Tanikav Asid Rava, similar to the Braisa, like Rava had said, which the Braisa itself seems to indicate these two types of ampilyois, which one's going to be kosher and one's going to be pasul again, depending if it's ur or if it's made out of beged. The Braisa says as follows, and it says a contrast of two categories. Chaltza b'minal hanifram. If a woman does chalitza with a minal that's torn, shechayf esrev haregel, which covers the majority of the foot, or besandal hanifchas, again, which is this hard type of a shoe, which is also torn, shemekablas or everegel, which, however, the majority of the foot can go into the shoe, or besandal shalsham b'shalsiv, or a sandal made out of rush or bast, which are these hard types of made out of reeds, which protect the foot, or bekav hakiteya. Now, that's for someone that his foot was amputated. And what they would make is they would make a type of a shape of her foot, of a foot, and that would have a small little hole where he would be able to put in the stump of his leg into that. Now, the person doesn't support himself on that foot, because it's not really a foot. That's what's called a kav. It's the kav of the kitei of the one who had his foot amputated. Now, actually, when he supports himself as he walks, he has stilts which are attached to his leg, and he has crutches for his hands. Now, so regarding if she would do chalitza with this kav, or bemuk, which is a type of a hard felt sock, which also protects the foot from the elements, again, because that's primary, as Rashi had said in the previous daf, the anal, to be considered valid for chalitza, has to be something hard that protects the foot from the elements. Or if she does chalitza with bismichas or aglayim, which this is someone more than just having his foot amputated, is that he actually can't use his legs at all. So the way he walks is actually on the floor as a crawling type of thing with his hands, and he drags his feet as he moves forward, as he projects himself. So they would make these types of supports out of wood, out of leather, and put the feet on top of that just to protect it as it's being dragged on the floor. So if she would do chalitza with those smichas, or bampilya shel or, with these socks made out of leather, which again is the primary one we're introducing this for, or v'acheletzes min agadol, or if the woman does chalitza from an adult yavam, as we continue on top of kaf gimel and alav, that would be valid bein oimid, whether he's standing, bein yeshiv, whether he's sitting, or bein mutter, whether he's leaning, or v'acheletzes min asuma, even if she does chalitza from the yavam that's blind, in all these cases, chalitzasik sher, that is a valid chalitza. So we see that one of them is the ampili shalar, it's a valid chalitza. Aval, but the other way around, this is the second category, the minol hanifram, if you have this minol that's torn, she'ein chayvis rebregel, which does not cover the majority of the foot, or besandol hanifchas, a sandal that's torn, she'ein mekabas rebregel, that does not have the majority of the foot can fit in, or ubismichas hayidayim. Now this is similar to the one who projects himself on the floor where they would make supports for his hands, which would be this leather casings. And the reason is because he's on the floor, he's in the mud, and he supports himself in that, and that's how he drags himself with his feet. If she would do chalitza by removing those things, or vampilya shel baged, or these socks made out of cloth, which is the other side, or v'chaletzes min hakatan, or if she does chalitza from a minor, chalitza sapsula, all these cases would be the other way, which there would be invalid chalitza. But one thing that we see that this chilik of rabba, to answer the question, clearly in this b'ayis itself, that ampilois, it depends what type of ampilois. If it's made out of leather, then it's considered a null, and therefore valid chalitza. If it's ampilois shel beged, then that's not considered a null, and therefore that would not be valid for chalitza.